You are tuned to commercial free, listener sponsored. That's right, You and Me Radio, 99.5 FM WBAI. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide throughout the afternoon and into the early part of the evening. Coming up at 1 o'clock will be The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, trying to help you and us all lead a more positively minded life. But right now, it is 12 noon. And it seems like...
Alien.
Yes, so Gary's having a little bit of a problem over there on his end, getting things straightened out. We'll hear a little bit more of Henry the Skipper Franklin, and then we'll go to Natural Living with Gary Noll.
Living with Gary Noll, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. Today, we'll be continuing with our ongoing series on examining the issues and the most probable solutions to the crisis at Pacifica and WBAI, and where possible other stations. In order to maintain as much objectivity as possible, I have invited individuals who share different points of view. My hope is that at some point during our dialoguing, we'll be able to get beyond anger, disappointment of individuals, and start to see where people can come together, where they can start to bridge some of these conflicts, ideological, political, managerial concepts, so that in the end, people on all the stations can have the type of programming that they deserve and really support it at the community level. One of the difficulties, one of the challenges that I've had is this is not just a matter of facts. Many of the facts have simply been inaccurate. As a result of inaccurate facts, there have been reaction and then additional action and reaction and additional action. So what if we can go back and do it all over again in our minds? What would be different? The key thing is to understand what has occurred, put it into its proper context, and then see what kind of remedial action can we take from here. I'm asking everyone in our dialoguing to realize that try to see if from the other person's perspective you can see anything that could improve or alter your own perception so that we don't have divided camps, because it does not help any of the healing process. At some point, whether it's Jew or Arab, Catholic or Protestant, Hutu or Tutsi, someone has to start seeing that there is a way to bridge it other than just having someone else simply surrender. One of the problems is if you've been attacked repeatedly, slandered, lied about, you have had people interfere in your personal life, you're not going to be as open to accepting someone else's suggestion. You just step aside, resign, or quit, or do whatever. You're going to, in all probability, fight back. Unless you get so weary of the whole process, you say, it's not worth it. Whether you're a station manager or program director, whether you're a board member, you're just going to say, it's just not worth the effort. And part of my concern is that this entire process at all levels, from station, volunteers and paid employees and management, to the national board, to the community board, it is not a positive and happy experience. It's almost like asking someone to run a gauntlet where they're getting beaten because they have certain ideals and certain desires to see something done. And that's not the way it should be. And we have a lot of divisiveness. I'm trying to bring this to a level where we can get beyond where we're at now. Today, Wahaspi be speaking with many individuals. My first guest, Tomas Morin. He is on the phone now, and he is a Pacifica National board member. He is an activist in the Bay Area and has done a lot of work in the efforts of KPFA in trying to get proper communications and cooperation between the listeners, their needs, and the station. Nice to have you with us today. Tomas? Hello? Let's see if we have him on the phone. Or Rob Robinson?
I'm here.
Oh, Rob? Okay, sorry. I just punched up the wrong number. We'll be right back with you in a moment.
Okay.
Sorry. Let's say hello to Tomas. Tomas, how are you today?
Good, Gary. How are you doing?
First of all, thank you very much for coming on this forum. It's appreciated.
Okay.
Tomas, would you lay out for the audience what you see as the primary issues that need to be addressed, and then how you would go about suggesting that these issues be changed?
Well, Gary, the issues with Pacifica started because a series of changes that management tried to make, and the intention of those changes was purported to be in terms of getting Pacifica a larger audience. But the way in which the changes have been made for the past 5 years enacted on the Pacifica family have been in a what is a non-inclusive and disrespectful way with the listeners. They've been authoritative. At the beginning, they were just non-consultative. And they've moved when the listeners said that they wanted participation and the staff at the various stations wanted participation. They've been met with a small group of people that have made decisions centrally and decided to move forward with changes without the appropriate kind of consultative process and working together process that you should do in a type of organization that we are involved in, which is a progressive station with very clear values about including diversity and working together with the various people with different points of view. I don't think that there's big disagreement in terms of anybody about reaching as many people as we can with the Pacifica message. We are very strongly committed, at least I am very strongly committed, to ensuring that the mission, original mission of Pacifica, to really ensure that the voices that are not heard elsewhere, the voices that do not have a voice and power in this country and continue to be underrepresented in a corporatized media world, that they have a voice in Pacifica. And we need a method of guaranteeing that. At this point, I think that the types of actions that were taken by the executive directors in the last 3 to 5 years have done a lot of damage to the credibility. I've received over 6,000 or 8,000 emails from listeners, all except for one or two, literally, very, very upset at the way in which this has been carried out. And the trust with the listeners and with the staffs has been eroded. And I think that new leadership needs to come in. That's what I think. That a new leadership that understands the importance of paying attention to the listener sponsors of the station, which literally have built for over 50 years what is a very, very important icon of the progressive movement in this country, need to be listened to. And new leadership at the board level can help to do that. And it's going to take a while to reconstruct, but I think that that's the way to go.
What other remedies would you have at this time that you see could be important for people to focus attention on?
I don't know exactly what you mean by remedies, Gary. I mean, first you have to have a board that's willing to act when something that is clearly wrong is occurring. I am very alarmed at the situation in your station there in New York. I've heard reports, plenty of reports, and I've actually heard audio of language coming from management that it is alarming to me that it comes out of a station like WBAI. We should be promoting a sense of understanding across the races and understanding across people of different backgrounds. And what I hear is a message that promotes the opposite. And that is very, very disturbing. As a member of the board, I have informed my board members of that, and I have said that we need to act. But there needs to be resolution on the board level that when we have management, upper management, and executive director that is unwilling or unable to control a situation that is clearly wrong and clearly out of control, the board needs to act. Equally, boards should not be involved in creating secret discussions about possibly a new financial arrangements on how to fund Pacifica, for example, in terms of the selling of the stations that had been an issue with the listeners. And we need to come out very clearly and spell out for the listeners that any process of discussion of reorganizing the way that Pacifica is funded would be consultative with our Pacifica family and would not get done by a handful of people that are holding power and now are holding power in a way that's unaccountable because the board is self-selecting at this point. So I would, those are some of the remedies. At first, the board has to stop being self-selecting.
Okay. How then should you select the board? What is the best way to faithfully fulfill the foundation's mission as the founder, Lewis Hill, would have had? How would you go about selecting this board?
Well, I think the board needs to be selected in a way that's representative with representation, maybe an indirect election mechanism. I favor the type of arrangements that existed before in terms of local advisory board or some other entity locally if that becomes impossible because of CPB rules. There are many ways of not disenfranchising the local representation because Pacifica has always been more of a federation of five stations that have worked together to produce good national programming and that is very committed to the concept of community work. You out there know what the issues are in New York. The people out here in the Bay Area are very tuned in to what's happening out here. So we need to have a mechanism for representation from the local stations that sends a majority of the board members to the national board. We also need vigilance, and I would favor a situation that the listeners have some power to elect that body, that local body, that in turn sends people to the board. And for example, in KPFA, over the last year, we have reorganized the local advisory board to be an elected body, where listener sponsors actually cast ballots to elect the local advisory board, who in turn could potentially have the power to elect people to a national board. That was the arrangement that existed before, one that ensured representation. Now, that still requires participation and vigilance on the part of the listeners to prevent individuals who do not pay attention to that need. But I think that kind of structure would go a long way to reassuring the listeners and to get their input.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing those insights with us. And we have many other panelists, but I appreciate your input very much. It's very constructive and thoughtful and well laid out. Tomas, thank you very much.
All right, Gary. Bye-bye.
Now let's go over and say hello to our other panelist who I had on earlier, and he is Rob Robinson, also a member of the National Board. Thank you very much for coming on the program today, Rob.
Well, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk like this. I think that Pacifica has long needed this type of format to air some of these grievances and differences.
Let's take some time now to air the grievances, and most importantly after that, your ideas for how you see we can go into solutions.
Well, I think that Pacifica, as far as the solutions go, I think that the original map that Lou Hill laid out for Pacifica was a wonderful one. His notion was that we would harness the energies of the communities, and I think that we grew in relation to that dream, and Pacifica, indeed, as a network, garnered tremendous ratings and honors in its first 25 years. After that, though, our ability to manage the network that we had created, the foundation and the stations, you know, came under fire. And I think that one of the things that we have to recognize, we are a national network, even though we only have a couple of national programs. We are a foundation, even though we don't raise much money for Pacifica at the foundation level. And we have a collective of stations, which basically are the bread and butter for Pacifica. 90% of the money that we raise comes directly from the listener sponsors in the five station areas. And we need to find ways to make that work. As a board member, and I, in my first attendance at a meeting as an alternate was in September of 1997, when Dr. Mary Frances Berry was sworn in as chair. But my observations then have been that there has been a tremendous inability of the board to perform the fiduciary responsibilities, to exercise accountability, to follow the bylaw, the very bylaws of the organization. So I think that the first issue is that if the body politic of Pacifica is going to be healthy from the standpoint of the listener sponsors, who after all not only raise the money, but they're the volunteers and the programmers and the producers, as well as the governance mechanism. So we have to make sure that at the lab level, as well as the national board member, at the national board level, that the Pacifica family is functioning properly. That's the role of the board, is to ensure that the fiduciary responsibilities, which doesn't really just relate to money, it relates to the relationships within an organization, that those relationships are working, and that we are being accountable to the listener sponsors. And as I think you've noticed from some of the documents that I sent you, the board has not done a good job of performing that role. The board no longer keeps minutes of its meetings. The committees of the board don't meet. The program committee, of which I'm a member, last met in October of 1998. So that's one of the things that we have to do. We have to also ensure that the management climate is working. We don't, as a board, evaluate the managers, the station managers anymore, haven't done so for years. So we can't ensure that the conditions in which our programmers at the local level or at the national level operate on are conditions that are conducive to the quality and the nature of programming that we want. Sure, we have wonderful programs that are, in fact, national programs like Amy Goodman's and yours, but those are only two that we have. So I think we have a responsibility to, as a board, to ensure that the climate around programming is creating outspoken, alternative, creative people at the Pacifica Network, and that those are national programs that are working as well as just local programs. We're not doing that. We're also not taking responsibility for the fundamental finances of the organization. And so those are some of the things that I think the board has to do. Governance must be aggressive if we're going to make sure that we conform to the mission and the vision that Lou Hill originally had.
I'm sure you could imagine how frustrating it must be for many of us who have pleaded with both station managers and board members over the years for some sense of professional standards for all to adhere to, including management. But that's pretty much fallen on deaf ears. And so there's kind of this sense of, well, who's really awake at the wheel? Who cares enough? And I believe that there has to be a way that all people on all levels are held accountable by a certain set of standards that I believe that should not be any different than anywhere else in society. I don't believe that non-commercial radio should say because we're non-commercial, we shouldn't have the same professional standards. Your thoughts on that, please?
I think that that's unquestionably correct. When the beloved Samori Marksman passed away, we learned on the board that the things we had been told had been put in place in terms of death benefits, you know, funeral benefits, retirement benefits, were not in fact in place for the people that were employed by Pacifica, and we're supposed to be progressive. We just haven't done those things. as you know, Gary, I'm one of a couple of board members that are involved in suing Pacifica because we've turned our back, because the organization has turned its back on its fiduciary responsibilities. Before we did this, Rabbi Aaron Kriegel and myself sent a letter to the board in May of 2000 detailing the concerns that we had about the board's failures, you know, to support standards of accountability and fiduciary responsibilities that dealt with things, just as you suggested. And although we had been writing to the board about this for 3 years, we were told by the chair of the board that because we had not gone through the committee process, you know, our letter would not be agendized, we could not talk about these things, which we as board members had tried to raise through the committee structure for 3 years. So you're exactly right. But the problem is that if you're going to heal the network, you cannot continue to operate, you know, in defiance of the bylaws. You cannot continue to operate in defiance of due process. You cannot neglect the democratic governance processes that we've laid down in the Articles of Incorporation and the bylaws of the organization. You cannot continue to ignore the responsibilities that you have for governing an organization in accordance with standards that will not only support progressive programming at the national level, but that will also support the health of the local stations, which again are run by the listener sponsors who fund it, who provide the bulk of the volunteer effort, and who are the governance mechanisms at the lab level. We here in Washington, D.C., I come from the Washington, D.C., from the WPFW lab for well over a year now, Gary. Our local advisory board has not been able to get WPFW to even publicize over the air when our meetings are held.
Question for you. On the subject of accountability, I was thinking that it might be very good before a board member were selected, and they really should all emanate from the local community boards, advisory boards, that they have a proven background in democratic processes, progressive processes, of working to show that they have been socially active in movements without just benefit for themselves, so that at least we know this is a person committed to a larger social cause. Your thoughts?
I think that that's exactly right. I think that falls in line with the original mission of Pacifica, and we try to do that. Some of us try to do that at the local advisory board level. But when you look at what happens with the board, we frequently wind up with people who get selected who do not have experience with radio, who do not have active community experience, and whose commitment to progressive causes is largely in question. And that's produced one of the anomalies that we have on the board right now. The majority of the people on the Pacifica Governing Board do not come from a progressive, active, community-based background. And, you know, in addition to that, they do not have skills in radio. They do not have skills in running nonprofit organizations, which need to raise money. They do not necessarily have the type of programming or even FCC law skills that you would expect to manage a progressive network like Pacificus. And we're the only one in the nation like this left. In fact, we were the original, the blueprint for all of these things, but we're the only one left. We're the only progressive network left. So it's highly ironic that our board is dominated by people who don't come from a progressive background and don't also have community, who don't have community activist skills.
Do you feel it's necessary to have people on the board who also have professional management skills and professional business skills to help in the direction of some systems that otherwise become chaotic if they're not professionally maintained?
Yes, I think essentially we need to have people that come from the community that can certify whether or not Pacifica is fulfilling its mission. But I think after you've said that, the other two things that we have to look at is as a progressive organization, what are we doing for organizations on the left. What are we doing to support the mission and the role of labor and working people in the country? What are we doing to support the arts and humanities? What are we doing to support the academies? And Pacifica has not had formal ties to these organizations for a long, long, long time. So when you found back in the mid-90s that the right wing was going after affirmative action, people like Ward Connerly, who was a trustee of the University of California, were going after affirmative action, with the exception of people like Amy Goodman and Verna Avery Brown, there was nobody in Pacifica, you know, nationally, that was raising the charge and saying, you know, the right wing is attacking affirmative action, let's mobilize against that. So that's one area. The other area is that we are a national radio network. I mean, we're a foundation, we're a national radio network, and we're a collective semi-autonomous local stations. You would expect that we would have expertise on the board or an advisory capacity to advise the board on how to manage the technology, the programming, and also how to create a climate, as I said, that creates, you know, excellent programming. We've never done that in Pacifica. We've never been interested in that.
Well, that's a missing link, and that's very important.
Yes.
We have several other people to go to, and I want to thank you very much for sharing these insights. I think they're very constructive and something we can all learn from.
Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity.
Bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Rob Robinson. Now let's go over and say hello to our next panelist. And if they're on the line, I will say hello to Ken Ford, who is on the board. Ken Ford, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm just going to ask you to speak up a little louder, please.
Certainly, I'll be happy to.
Okay. Ken, I have three direct questions to start us off, and I'd like to deal with these. Part of the initial crisis, and only part of the crisis, was that the Pacifica National Board, or a select group of them, believed that there should be more of a mainstream approach, and the only way to take that mainstream approach to the programming was to take the stations that were less likely to fall in line, KPFA and BAI, and to, in effect, take them over. By doing so, they could put them in position to be sold, and individuals then could profit from that. To make sure that there was no interference, there would be special session to amend the bylaws so that only a small group of people could have the power to do what they chose to do without interference from others. Those are the primary charges. Would you agree or disagree those are the charges?
I would wholeheartedly disagree with every point that you've made, Gary.
No, that's not what I said. I didn't say whether you agree or disagreed. I'm just saying, do you agree or disagree that those are the information that's primarily being disseminated out there for reasons to attack you or other members of the board?
It's totally false, Gary.
All right, then, question one. Is there now, has there ever been, an effort to sell WBAI or the other stations?
No, there has never been an effort or any discussion, for that matter, to sell WBAI or any other asset of the Pacifica Foundation. As a matter of fact, the prevailing consensus, as I see on the board, is that we would like to get other stations, but we've never been in a financial position to do that.
Was there ever a meeting in the board, in executive session or otherwise, where it was stated that BAI or other stations could draw a certain amount of money if it were sold?
No, there's never been any discussion like that in any session that I have attended.
All right. So to your knowledge, there's no effort to sell WBAI?
Absolutely not.
You're president of the board?
I am vice chair of the board.
Okay. Would you go on record right now affirmatively stating to this audience that not now or any time in the future will you make any effort or you will stop any effort to sell WBAI?
I can make that statement at this point, surely.
We will hold you to it.
I know you will.
So we have your absolute 100% unequivocal statement that you are not now, have never, and never will try to sell any BAI or any Pacifica station.
I can give you that assurance. As long as I am in this position, I will not support any effort or try to moderate or even entertain those suggestions. That's something that's just not feasible at this time.
Okay.
Nor is there any desire to do that.
All right. Is there any evidence that you're aware of of a commission basis that would personally benefit anyone who would sell the station?
Not that I'm aware of, because it becomes a moot point, because we're not looking to sell anything, so there's nothing going to be transferred for anybody to make a commission on. That's just fallacy.
All right, but this is one of the primary statements that have been circulated.
I understand that, and quite frankly, there are a lot of statements that have been circulated that just aren't true. You know, we are just bombarded with a lot of mistruths, half-truths, and just outright fabrications.
Another statement, that the board has been taken over by people who are primarily capitalistic in their philosophy and wish to guided away from its original mission. What is your background and how did you get on the board? Were you self-selecting or did you go through a lab process?
Well, I was a member of the local advisory board in Washington for a number of years. My background is a technical one. I'm an engineer by training. I was elected by the local advisory board to be placed on the national board. My nomination was taken to the national board and they in turn voted to seat me on the board. And that has been the process by which practically everyone on the board has come forward. Now, recently we've made some exceptions. There have been members brought to the board who were not or did have little to no lab experience. I believe Tomas Moran is one that did not really come from a lab, but he was placed in nomination and Mary Berry endorsed his nomination and he was seated.
Who else?
Tomas Moran, I believe Leslie Kagan and Beth Lyons out of New York were two others that were selected, as well as John Murdoch and Bert Lee. They were placed into nomination and not selected, but elected by the board.
Okay, so these people you just mentioned, are these individuals a part of what is considered the dissident group, or are they part of the core group?
Well, three of the five would be considered dissidents. I don't like to use that term. I think while we may have philosophical differences on the board, I think we're all colleagues, and I like to think of everyone in that vein.
All right. I'm going to ask whoever else on the line not to talk, please. You have an open mic. Please, no one else on the line talk. It will interfere with the person I have on the line now. Thank you. So if I understand what you're saying, and if I don't, please correct me, you're saying that the arguments that the board was taken hostage by a power group, people who had no background in community service, did not have come through the duly democratic process of having a local community board, is not the case for yourself or many other members of the board?
For many of the members, the vast majority of, well, up until recently, the vast majority of the people on the board came from local advisory groups. Now, as far as the expertise and background, there's only been really one person on the board that had a background in public radio, and that was Carolyn Van Putten from the Berkeley area. And also Frank Millspa, who was on the board when I came on the board. They were the two that had experience. Frank was the general manager at WBAI for a number of years, and Carolyn has been in public radio for many, many years. So they had that experience. As far as community involvement, I know I've worked with nonprofits. A lot of the other board members have worked with nonprofits. Even though we may work for a corporation, we do have experience in working with nonprofits and community groups outside of our regular 9-to-5 jobs.
All right. The impression given by some of the dissidents is that we have the board divided in two. Those who are working class people with social active backgrounds and those who are wealthy individuals serving the international, multinational corporate interest. What's your own background? Are you a wealthy person?
I'm very poor, Gary. I'm very poor. I'm not a wealthy person. I wish I was. As a matter of fact, I drive a 1985 Nissan Maxima with almost 300,000 miles. It speaks for my wealth.
Right.
There's no one on the board that serves any multinational corporation. There's no desire, for anybody on this board to even work for such an entity, nor are we controlled by any other group. Everyone here does this as a volunteer. They does it as their own belief in public radio and the mission of Pacifica, and nothing more.
All right, so let me just recapitulate for our audience. So based upon one premise, that the board was looking to sell the stations, the board was going to make commissions, the board was being taken over by multinational interests, corporate interests, removing the democratic process, those are all false, you're saying?
They certainly are. They're definitely false.
Okay. Are you aware of any evidence to the contrary?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Lastly, there has been a statement that you or others sought to change the bylaws to be self-serving. Tell us your position on that.
The position on that is simply this, Gary. In 1999, February, I believe, we were notified, just prior to that board meeting, we were notified by the Corporation of Public Broadcast that they would suspend the funding of the network based upon the fact we were not in compliance with their regulations. The CPB was concerned, given the fact that the administration may be changing and the Congress had changed, and that they were being pressured to bring all of their grantees into compliance with federal law and federal regulations. We decided, and contrary to what's known publicly, we crafted an arrangement, not so much arrangement, we crafted language such that the local advisory boards designating representatives that have been placed on the national board would resign their positions from the local advisory board and become directors at large of Pacifica. Now, what took place was there were several people who helped author that. Rob Robinson was one, and Aaron Kriegel were two of the main authors of that language. We put that language before the board. It was a unanimous decision by which three of the so-called dissidents voted for, and we all agreed to resign from a local advisory board and become members at large. I raised the question to the chair at the time, Dr. Berry, that it gave the appearance that we were disconnecting ourselves from the local advisory board. And as a consequence, we established a policy whereby for all future meetings to keep the dialogue going and to get better input from board meetings because it appears as though we were disconnected. And quite frankly, I being a board member from the Washington Signal area, I really don't know what's taking place in Los Angeles or Houston. So I felt in order for me to do a better job and be more productive, I needed to get more information coming from those respective communities. I had suggested, and it was approved by the board, that we would start inviting the local advisory board chairs to the meeting and let them act as ex officio members on all committees, such that we could get the full input from not only the station manager, but from the community, such that we can make more and better decisions as to what resources should be allocated, what problems that have been identified in the various communities are there, and such that we could apply the necessary resources to try and solve the problems. And that, unfortunately, has been lost in this whole dialogue.
So what you're saying, if I understand you, is that the dissident board members actually, including Rob Robinson, who was just on, actually were the architects of the passage and unanimously agreed, everyone on the board agreed, that that was a piece of legislation that should pass the board because it helped keep the station, all the stations in the Pacifica Foundation in proper compliance
with federal regulation, yes.
All right, and then to invite the local heads of the boards in so they could sit in any of the meetings and the workshops to give their input.
Absolutely, because, you know, we really need that information as to what's taking place. In the past, we've gotten information from the station manager, but, you know, that's just one source. We'd like to get another viewpoint, another take on an issue.
All right, got a question for you.
Surely.
I raise a lot of money for BAI, and unless I'm wrong, I've raised the most amount of money any human being's ever raised on any non-commercial radio in the United States. Are you aware of that?
I am now.
Okay, well, the facts, I've raised over $5 million for WBAI alone. Now, here's what I'm concerned with. I have asked on at least 100 occasions the station managers, program directors, including Samori, who was a friend, how much do we have in the bank? What's our financial position? I've never been given an answer, not once. I've written to the board, what is our financial position? Never gotten an answer. I've had many issues with the previous station managers. I have sought not to take that to the public or put it on the air. It was not the appropriate forum, so I wrote to the national board. In over 60 letters, I never received even a response. Now, what does it say if people who support a station, and hence without their support that station wouldn't exist, can't even know how much we have, what our bills are, how much salaries people are paid? Your response, please.
Well, the salary line is I believe in the financial statements that I have seen is usually a composite of all salaries. We don't break down what the individual salary of a particular individual or employee of Pacifica, and I don't think we should. It's a matter of privacy. But as far as the other funds that are raised, they're given in our financial reports that are made available on a quarterly basis. And if, Gary, if you need to see a copy of that, I'll be happy to get a copy to you.
I would like to, because I've never once been able to find out through the station how well we are doing or how poorly we're doing, because many times I hear we're doing something, and then I am challenged with, where's the money go? What's it being spent for?
Well, Gary, I will make sure that happens very shortly, and I will also say for your listeners that copies of the financial statement are available at the stations for public inspection at any time.
Okay.
That's our policy.
Have you ever been fired from any job?
Have I ever been fired?
Yeah.
I think, forgive me now, I'm over 50. I'm trying to remember. I think I was, yes. One time I was.
All right. They tell you why you were fired?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't relocate.
Bernard White was fired.
Okay.
All right. Bernard was management, not union. And Jerome Harper was fired. She was union, producer of the Wake Up Call show. They've never been told why they were fired. Do you feel that's fair?
Gary, I don't know why they were fired. That's something in the purview of the station manager and the executive director.
I understand.
Operational agent. But let me finish now. I'm not sure as to if there has been a miscommunication or a breakdown in that, but I will promise you I will look into it and try and satisfy their needs.
I'm asking you a larger question. Do you think it's fair that someone should be fired, not told why, and given an opportunity to defend themselves?
As I understand labor laws, they should be given that information.
Okay, I would like to make an offer.
Okay.
And you can accept or reject it. I would like to offer, and I haven't spoken to him about it, but I'd like to offer that you invite Bernard White to come and meet before the board and for him to present his case and you to hear any evidence that would challenge his being on the air to see whether or not he was given due process.
Well, let me say this. We have a process within our bylaws. Excuse me. We have a process within our bylaws where anybody who has been terminated can make that appeal to the board, and I would encourage him to do so. If he feels that he's not been given his due process, I would encourage him to do so.
I think it's very important that people start, if you don't want someone working for you and they're in management, give them a reason. All of us who've been fired, and I've been fired from ABC and been fired from several stations, they told me, you're fired, and here's why, and I said, fine, and I went on.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the beginning of our life. But it's really important that people be dealt with in a professional way. Even if you have a grievance against them, bring that person to the awareness of what that grievance is. I would also like to see Juan Gonzalez and Miguel Maladona and Sybil Wang and Leslie Cajun and Ralph Engelman and Karen Frillman and Frank Millspaugh and many others come together where you and other members of the board would personally sit and hear what they have to say about helping heal these rifts. Are you willing to have meetings with individuals?
Absolutely.
All right, then I will act as a moderator. I will facilitate this. I will seek out the people who I believe have something constructive to put in, and I'll try to arrange for this to happen. That's a step, people sitting down together. I also would like to see that the local community board, that you actively invite them to come into your meetings, to sit with them, so that there's no longer the sense that they don't count and that their input is not essential. Would you agree with that?
Gary, I would agree with that. One of the things that's being misrepresented here is as though there's some corporate interest, there's some corporate interest that's trying to take over Pacifica and cut out the grassroots. That is totally wrong. This is a grassroots up organization. It always has been. The only thing that we're doing is simply trying to make it bigger and better. We have philosophical differences. Some people think that Pacifica should not get any larger. Some think that if we should just preach to the choir, it's just our message and we should just repeat it to ourselves. Some of us in a more progressive thought thinks that there are a lot of people out here who need to hear what we have to say, who really in earnest understand and sympathize with and really want to be a part of an organized progressive movement. We're trying to capture, since I came on the board, We have grown an audience about 200,000. How that has occurred, it can be argued many ways as to whether it was mainstreaming or just being more professional in our message, and I think it's more the latter. We're being more objective. We're bringing in different sides. We're bringing in different information such that people can make their own decision, and that's what's getting people to listen. That's what's making it possible for the network to grow as a whole.
Okay, do you know, I agree with that, and I commend you for doing that. But a lot is lost in the lack of communication. Would you agree that there has been, more than anything else, a lack of communication that's both cooperative and progressive between the different members of the boards and the station managers?
I agree wholeheartedly. And one of the things we tried to rectify that was, and we never really got a chance to get it off the board, was to do a somewhat of a shared reporting system. And I know this sounds corporate, but you know, there are issues that pop up throughout the organization that we all need to know and keep abreast of. And it's one of the things we have on the drawing board. It's been on the back burner for a while, was to develop an informational system whereby if there's an issue taking place at a particular location, then, you know, someone would be in charge of that issue. And we would do weekly, if not monthly, updates as to what's taking place such that anybody can tap into that, whether it's through our web page or just email alerts from people on staff to the board members as well as to the public, letting you know what's taking place such that we can communicate in-house as well as outside of house for everybody to know what's taking place.
I
think the communication process needs to be improved, and quite frankly, I'm willing to work to make that happen.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask you some specifics. Please just address it yes or no. All right? And then we can go into a context, but I really need you to either commit yourself for something or commit yourself against it. Okay?
Were some of these questions you wanted me to answer? Did you want John Murdoch, who's in the studio with me, to answer as well?
Either one of you.
Okay.
Would you recommend to the executive director, Bessie Walsh, that all the fired individuals be, except the station manager, Valerie Van Isler, that all the other individuals be rehired and all the people who are banned to lift that ban? I see nothing constructive whatsoever in banning people from a station. And I would believe that the lab meeting should be held there, and that anyone who is fired should be rehired. Your thoughts?
Gary, this is John Murdoch.
Hi, John.
I didn't know whether you knew I was also here, but let me address that question and give you my own thoughts on it. First of all, I fully agree that lab meetings ought to be announced on the air on a monthly basis if they're going to be held on a monthly basis. I don't think that lab meetings should be held on the station because many of the stations don't have the space facilities for lab meetings. Also, there have been repeated attempts by people who have attended various functions in the stations to try to grab the microphones and interfere with productions that are on the air. That's not appropriate. I think that the station should take some responsibility, though, for making sure the community is aware that there are lab meetings and providing a place where lab meetings can be held so that those are well attended, well publicized, and they can serve their purpose. No one has been, quote, banned, so to speak, from the stations. There have been people who have been discharged from their employment. They may have legitimate grievances. They've got an opportunity to go through their union to address any grievances they have. Those are negotiated rights that they have. There are also a policy and procedures with regard to the rights of the persons who act in managerial positions to address grievances they have. I think that the board should be willing to listen to and should hear if Bernard White does have a grievance, and based on that, if there's a determination that the decision to terminate him was incorrect, then he ought to be reinstated, and I think the same ought to be for anybody else. But I don't think that without any kind of an opportunity to learn what the specific facts were, that we should just categorically reinstate people. There are some legitimate reasons why some of those folks were discharged, and I think that what we need to be doing at this point is recognize that much of the conduct that has taken place in and around the stations, the board members, the on-air folks, and the LABs has been unfair to a lot of folks. We can't rectify that.
Okay.
What we can do is make a commitment
to go forward. Let's back up a moment, because part of you is talking like a lawyer, which you are, and part of you is trying to give a protective view, but here is my investigation. I have found that many of the things that occurred because people were told that there was in effect a takeover of the station. My investigation has not substantiated that. My investigation does not show where there was any systematic effort by the national board to say, let's go in and take over BAI. It was an effort to replace a station manager, Valerie Van Esser, who had been notified 6 months before and had been brought to Washington that she was going to be put on a disciplinary situation and to correct situations, and that the executive director determined that those situations were not remedied and chose to have another station manager, including one that originally that she wanted to have from the station, Jose Santiago, who was rejected by the people and rejected primarily through threats and intimidation and lack of cooperation. And it was only then that Utrice Lead, my investigation has determined that Utrice Lead did not have any earlier conversations with Bessie Walsh on this situation, though she was no friend of Valerie Van Isler and had indeed on several occasions brought allegations against Valerie or criticized Valerie at lab meetings, as well as other people did as well, by the way. And there were I've got letters and Samori Marksman letters that I have showing that he had been making an effort, along with Bernard White, to have Valerie reassigned or put into another position where there could be a different form of management station. So that is one issue, and unfortunately they made it all one. They made the two issues, the replacement of a station manager and the problems at the national board, one issue, which then immediately set off a match to a tinderbox of overreaction. And with that, you had too reactive, too emotional, and then it catapulted people who wanted to genuinely protect the station, who only knew what they were told, that there's going to be an effort to take over the station. And suddenly you start seeing a replay of KPFA, which I think was one of the most absurd management decisions in history. And I wouldn't have tolerated that for a split second, to have gone in there and allowed the banning of shows and throwing people out of the station. You don't do that. Not when you realize the whole heart and soul of community radio is free expression, free speech. And then when one of the news people, Bernstein, says, let's talk about this, and they know it's not news. Well, it is news. You know, when you change a station manager, it's news, and you have to have a forum on that station to discuss it, whether people like it or didn't like it. It's an open forum. And to deny that forum because of fear of people getting overly reactive, of course they're going to be reactive. But in time, had those forums been offered, and had there been a complete and total dialoguing, and had there been appropriate discussion, then you would have had, I'm sure, a different outcome. So now we're looking back on something that was overreactive on all parts. Suddenly there were camps formed, and you couldn't talk with certain people. I couldn't talk with people. I couldn't talk with people because nobody wanted to relent on their positions. And I kept saying, but hold on. Show me the proof that they're selling the stations. Show me the proof that there's a conspiracy. Show me the proof that someone from Chase Manhattan's executive board is trying to take this over, and Rupert Murdoch. None of those were true. But the fact is that people were banned from the station, and if you didn't get that information, then you have not been given all the facts. And I'm sorry you were not in a place to get the facts, but there have been people that were told not to come back or because they yelled or because they used foul language. So what? I don't care what language someone used. You still have to honor certain principles of what local community broadcasting is about. Now, I believe if you fire someone, you give them cause. You show, here's why you're fired. You sit down. They can argue the point. To say, well, let's just let the union, it's a union situation, hides behind the fact that a lot of people still don't know why they're not on the air. And it's all this time later, 6 months later, your union has been hamstrung in trying to represent the issue as well. I believe that someone has to take the higher road, not just say, well, it's going to be resolved in the courts, or let the union resolve it, and say, let's have a forum to get people back. Now, I said with the exception of Valerie Van Isler, because that is a different situation. I also believe that there should be 2 hours a week set aside on WBAI so the problems at the station can be moderated by people who hold different points of view, and to have someone at the station, and you could find this person or from the community who is objective and not taking sides, and there are many such individuals, who would allow an open forum. So there is a place for people to grieve.
Well, you can just say, can respond to that, Gary, for a second.
Yeah.
First of all, I happen to think that the idea of a station talk show is actually a good idea, and I don't think it should be limited just to BAI. I think that's a very useful forum, and I think that it would be an opportunity for people to air a lot of issues. So I think that's a very good idea. As I said, I think it would be a good idea for Bernard White and some other folks should be given an opportunity to address the board regarding what the issues are in their termination or in their so-called banning. But to make a categorical statement without knowing what the facts are, that people are going to be returned to their positions, is inappropriate. We've got to make an assumption as board members that folks were terminated for an appropriate reason. However, as board members, we have a responsibility to listen to those people, give their side.
Then wouldn't that be appropriate? Because what if Bessie Walsh overreacted?
Well, I'm agreeing with you. I'm telling you that forum.
Can we all agree that it was inappropriate what they did at KPFA?
I can certainly agree that had I been there, I would have liked to have done things differently.
No one should have done what happened there, and the outcome was disastrous.
Well, I think we all can agree on that, Gary.
We don't want to see that kind of action. I believe that any person who was banned or fired from the station should have an absolute opportunity to face their accusers and face the board, and let the board decide, a full board decide, with the evidence presented, were these warranted or not? And then, if the evidence is overwhelming, these people should not have been let go, and then they should be put back into the
game. One thing you end up, though, with, Gary, is that you end up then with a situation where every on-air person is going to want to go before the board, and you end up then having a matter of managerial chaos for the program director and the station managers who have to make decisions regarding on-air programming.
I agree, but
there's got to be a balance.
I agree, and I'm not saying that every situation. I'm just saying in this particular situation.
Well, Gary, let me say this. You have made an offer to create a dialogue, to act as a moderator with some discussions with various people in the community and the board. I would ask you to put this on the agenda, and we will be. I know I will, and I will try and get other board members.
I've got a question for you.
To make this happen.
Is Pacifica solvent right now?
Yes.
All right, then why don't you go out there and look at what you have to do to hire someone who is a top-rate person in the field to be this executive producer person who has the background and experience and who will deal evenly with all issues. Because if you have the right help, a lot of these things won't happen, and especially at the station level. I believe that everybody at the station, if they're going to be paid, should be paid a living wage. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but you know, one problem with your idea, Gary, and I think it's a good one, I think it's a very good one, is that's not going to resolve the issues in litigation. And frankly, with the litigation that's out there, a lot of the things that you're talking about, as sensible as they are and as much as the board would like to do them, we're frankly hamstrung. I mean, frankly, the litigation has been very malicious, and until we get some of that resolved, and we've made efforts to try to resolve that, a lot of things we want to do that are sensible and involve dialogue have simply been stymied. I mean, I have met with members of the LABs. I have met with members on the other side of some of the litigation to try to talk about resolution. And frankly, a lot of those folks don't even want to talk. So I think the board's very amenable to doing a lot of these things. But I think we're going to have to do something to get the folks who want to litigate everything to step back and realize that that's harmful to the foundation.
Would you agree that you need people in all five stations who are professional in their background, having run stations in the past, and who are able to make decisions about what is a quality show, who is bringing what to a mission, and unless you go out there and look for those people, you're not going to find them. And
you end up with
many of the problems we already have. Many managers can't even control their own stations, and many cliques within stations virtually control what goes on and can do whatever they want.
And, Gary, you bring up a very valid point. I agree with you wholeheartedly. There should be competent and professional people in place, those with the eye on the mission and who believe in the mission and philosophy of Pacifica. It really disturbs me personally, as well as I know many members of the board, that there are this power elite or power cliques within the station that actually destroyed the reputations of people. When you mentioned Jose Santiago, who was asked to be station manager, yet he was intimidated, harassed, and threatened.
It was wrong. What was done to Jose Santiago was simply not in the best interest of the station, first of all, it wasn't even a democratic process.
Right.
You don't tell someone to stop by threatening him, because how many people are going to want to go forward? But these are the issues that I believe, one at a time, it's not going to be undone, but we got to start realizing what the real problems are. And a lot of the myths that people have been led by have got to be dissuaded. And also, I personally want to say that after looking into Ken's background there, the malicious attacks against him, and I've independently confirmed a lot of these, this has got to stop. And the attacks against Andrea Sisco have got to stop. If you have a legitimate complaint about someone, bring in a legitimate form. Trying to destroy their reputations is non-constructive. And we've got to start looking for constructive tools. And remember, an awful lot of people now involved in all sides of this issue are not the most reasoned minds. Gentlemen, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.